This morning again, I'm just going to talk about worship. I hope that you do hear something you haven't heard before. We're going to have a lot of scriptures, and first off, we're just going to start with what is worship. And then we're going to talk about a few things about worship is what it is not, and then what it is. Essentially, not even looking at a biblical definition, I just want to start off with what in the dictionary does it say worship is. Because I think it is perfect. In the 1828 version of Webster, this is how he says it. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. That is worship. To honor with extreme love and extravagant submission. So it's to honor. It's to honor. And to lather with love. To bathe with love. Extreme submission. Yesterday afternoon, Mom and Jerry kept the kids for me, and so I could study a little bit. And when I left, she sent me home with a big bowl of shrimp Creole. And, oh man, I was excited to get home and eat it. I had a few bites of her leftovers, and it was good. And so I was ready to get home and eat, and it smelled good. Well, I was passing in front of Walgreens, and right when I did that, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go get a red box. And so I pulled up on my phone real quick so I didn't have to stand outside and search. So I looked up on my phone, and I was going to get Night at the Museum, and so they had one. I was like, perfect. And it was even at Walgreens. It was the only one they had invited was at that red box where I was. I was like, this is completely perfect. So I pulled in there real quick. I pulled right in front. And so I'm sitting in my car doing it. And as I'm sitting there, I see this guy talking to another guy. And he's kind of going like this. And I see the guy at red box say no. And so I was like, well, obviously he's asking him for food. And I didn't really think a whole lot about it. And so he walked off. I guess I walked around the other side of Walgreens. So I got out of my car and I went to the Redbox thing. And right as soon as I walked up to it, he walks up to me and he says, hey, do you have anything to eat? And I was like, you know what I do? I was like, I got some shrimp Creole. I was like, I hope that's okay. And oh man, he took that and he took off. I didn't see him. He was assuming he was homeless. I gave him a card and I said to come here. And anyway, so gave him some food and he left. And I owe you a container. It's gone. I drove around the back just to see if I could see him. I couldn't see him. He was gone. Because I was just going to, anyway, well, I did give my car to the church, said, hey, you know, we'll give you some groceries, but anyways, I got back to refocus what I was doing, and I got back on my phone, and I went to scan my card, because after you rent a movie on Redbox on your phone, you just walk up to the machine, if you don't know, and you scan your card, and it gives you the movie that you reserved on your phone. So I scanned my card, and it pops up, that movie is not available at this Redbox, and I was like, I just rented it. Yeah, it was. I know it was. And it was the weirdest thing. So I get back on my phone, and sure enough, it never even charged me when I completed the checkout process. I did the whole credit card thing. I signed in, all that stuff. It was done. It said, your order is reserved. I get back on there. I never had a charge. Pretty much told me Jesus had no intention for me of stopping at a movie for us. My obedience was that I stopped. I never would have seen that guy. He never would. I mean, completely Jesus, from the moment of me leaving my mom's house and me having the food right there ready. I didn't even have to go buy it. Jesus had already gave it to me. It was already in my car in a to-go container. Ready to go. And it was warm. Ready for him to eat. He'd just been shot down. These other people weren't giving him food. He walked off. He wasn't asking for money. He was just asking for food. I had no cash. None. That's what he asked for, and that's what I had. You see, when I did that, in that obedience, it was worship. Because worship is extreme submission. Every time you remotely do what Jesus just asked you to do, you just worshiped. It's that simple. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. We're going to start, I'm going to read a bunch. You don't have to, most of these I'm going to read You don't have to follow with me, but if you want to, the first one I'm going to read is Psalms 96, 5 through 9. To honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Worship is not defined by acts. There are displays of worship, and we're going to talk about that in a little while. There are things that you do as an act of worship, as a display, but that doesn't define worship. If I get up here and sing these songs, that is not in itself worship. It is an act of worship. It is a display of worship, but that's not worship in itself. It's also obedience. It's also giving. It's also honoring Jesus. It's also respecting the worship service at church and not talking, not being on my phone, not focusing on out the window, all those things. That's worship because it's honor. It's respect. It's obedience. That is worship. So every part of that is all worship. So that's a lot of times why we call the worship service the whole service. It's not just songs and preaching. It's the worship service because everything we're doing is worship, from the offering, from the songs, from the preaching. Everything we do is all worship. It's worship service. But then obviously, you know, throughout your day as well. And so again, it's a response. Worship is my expression of love. Whatever I do to express my love to Jesus, to express my feelings for him, or to show my obedience, whatever that is, I am worshiping God. I am worshiping God. Worship is my obedience. We worship God for one reason. Because he is God, period. We worship God because he is God, period. That is why we do it. There is no specific I worship God because he says to. It's I worship God because I feel obligated. No, I worship God because he's God. We worship God because he is God. That is why. If you need a reason, there it is. Why do y'all worship? Because he's God. And because he's worthy. And he deserves it. So we worship God. All right, Psalms 96, you're already there. Got all these nice little tabs. I should have wrote on them. I don't know what they all mean. Starting in verse 5. The gods of other nations are merely idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship him. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. Let the earth tremble before him. Give God the glory he deserves. Every time you wake up, give God the glory he deserves. Throughout the day, throughout our moments, throughout worship service, throughout songs, throughout giving, throughout our job and just our day-to-day stuff. Give God the glory he deserves because he deserves it. Let all the nations of the world recognize the Lord. Recognize. He's mighty. He's powerful. He's worthy. He's deserving. He deserves my honor. He deserves my respect. He deserves it. As I come into, especially, church service, we'll say that, just because that is when we come together corporately and we do that. You know what? He deserves my full attention. He deserves for me to give him my focus. And it's so easy to get distracted, especially in a corporate setting where things come in and out. And a lot of the times, we've made it through the service. The service is over. We're heading home, and we're like, wait a minute. What did they talk about today? What did they sing? I don't know. Give God the glory he deserves, the respect he deserves, the honor he deserves. All right. So let's talk about a few things that worship is not. I tell you what. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Everybody say worship. Worship is obedience. Yeah. Hey, let's say that again. Everybody say worship is obedience. Believe it. It's honor. It's respect. It's extreme love. It's submissive obedience. Worship is not a bribe. Worship is not a bribe. We don't worship Jesus to get him to do something we want or to get him to do something for us. That's not the reason we do it. When we obey God and are submissive to him, it's not because I want something. It's not because I'm expecting something for him to do for me. That's not what it is. It's not a bribe. We'll explain that more. Let's read. We're going to read a few verses. Starting in verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was alarmed by this news and sought the Lord for guidance. He also gave orders that everyone throughout Judah should observe a fast. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. Let's skip down to verse 13. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of those don't matter. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Now, they said, or the prophet, he stood up and he said, "Don't be afraid. The battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. The battle is not yours, it is the Lord's." Start in verse 20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the leaders of the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever." At the moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. If you keep reading, it says eventually every single enemy was dead. They all killed each other. They had no more. There were none left. They said they walked up to an overlook, and you could just see bodies everywhere. And they went and they gathered all the equipment and plunder and whatever was left, and it took them 3 days to gather it all because it was so much. It was just left there because they all turned on themselves. Now, you've probably heard this before, where the worshipers were out front, they went in the army, they went, and they won the battle. Here's the thing. They did not win that battle because the worshipers were in front. That wasn't the reason they won. In fact, it was nothing that the worshipers did that caused them to win the battle. You see, the day before, God already said, "The battle is mine." It was done won. He said, "Do not be afraid. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's." What won the battle and they were able to walk in was that they honored the Lord and they obeyed him. He said, "Don't be afraid." I guarantee you, if they were afraid, they wouldn't have put the singers out in front. They wouldn't have put the musicians with harps out in front. It would have been arrows. It would have been swords. It would have been shields. There was none of that. They were completely obedient. They were honoring the fact that the battle was the Lord's and not theirs. Now, yes, they took steps of faith. Yes, they did those things. But understand, they didn't go out there with the notion, okay, if we go out here and worship, then God will save us. That is wrong. That is incorrect. Because there's nothing I can do for that. It's done. The battle is the Lord's. But I can be reverent, and I can honor the Lord, and I can march out front of that battle and be assured that it is His. And I can come out singing, and I can come out shouting, because I know that it is His, and it is not mine. It's not mine to lose. It was His to win. I have no reason to be afraid. I have no reason not to come out in front of those battles, not to come out in front of those things and just do what He said. They didn't have to move God. I wrote that down. He already had a plan. He already had a plan to move. The worship was for His glory. The worship was for His honor. And they believed it. They latched hold. Oh my, latch hold. The battle is not yours. No, worship is not a bribe, but it is a boast. A boast of confidence, a move from fear, and a celebration of what has been done. You're going to have battles, a whole lot of them, but they're already won. They're already won. Everything that needed to be done, Jesus died for, and it was done. The battle has been won. Your responsibility now, your responsibility is to believe it, is to have faith, don't be afraid, and praise. Praise. Praise God for what He has done. Praise Him for what He's going to do. The battle is won. It is not yours. It is the Lord's. Praise Him. Don't be afraid. And oh, how easy it is. I know. But I'm right here. The enemy's right in front of me. I could just grab this little sword right here and just whoosh, and it's done. Bam. Okay, you won the battle and everything, but it's right here, and I just want to take it in my own hands, and I want to do my own thing with it. I want to put my stamp on it. I want to put my Jamie-approved signature on it and be like, okay, God, thanks for the help. Thanks for the idea and everything, but I got this. When I don't, my job is to let Him have it, because it's already won. And the moment I go into that battle and I take hold of it myself and I try to do things my own way, it's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. I have the ability to completely change God's plan. What? You do. You could totally mess up what God has for you. Don't let that scare you. He's a God of redemption. He brings new things. He does new days for us all the time. But let's just embrace His plan. Let's just go with His original idea of what He has for us. Let's go day by day worshiping the Father, being obedient to what He wants for us. That may mean asking Him more. What He wants for us. What is it You want me to do today, God? I have a plan, absolutely. There are so many things I need to do. But what do You want? I just wanted to go home last night. I was ready to go home. I was ready to lay back. And just for whatever reason, I was like, okay, let's go get a movie. Didn't really even have time to watch a movie. But that's completely what it was. It had nothing to do with that. It was just an act of obedience, which was worship. Worship is not a way to earn God's favor. I don't care how much worship you do. I don't care how much how many services you attend. I don't care how much praise and worship is playing in your on you, your walk, whatever. You're trying to help the olders. The MP3 players or radio. Oh my goodness, I couldn't think of the word. All day long. Those things. It doesn't matter. Or it does matter, but if the goal is to earn God's favor, it's not going to happen. It won't work. That's not what it is. It's not what worship is. I cannot stand up here and worship with an anticipation that I am wanting God to bless me. That is not what worship is. Worship is extreme love and extravagant obedience. I am not standing up here for God to bless me. That is not the mentality. It's for me to give God the glory and the honor he deserves and he is worthy of. I can worship all day long. I need to worship all day long. But in any case, it won't earn me God's favor. Why? Because I already have full favor. Jesus did what he needed to do. I walk in full favor now. So there is nothing I can do. No amount of worship, no amount of preaching, no amount of talking, no amount of witnessing, no amount of feeding, no amount of clothing, no amount of anything can earn me more of God's favor. I cannot do it. I have it already. I cannot place that in my hands. He gives it freely and fully. And there is nothing I can do to make it more. Because then, it's about me. Then it becomes, well, I did this. My worship did this. Look how blessed I am. Look how much favor I roll in. Look how much ease I have with my boss. Look how easy things go at work for me. Look how easy things come at home for me. Look how much my neighbors love me. All these things. That's because I worship. I'm just a good worshiper, you know. I know how to do it. I'm good at it. Oh, that favor is just rolling in over my life. You're wrong, and you are deceived if you think that. No, it doesn't work like that. That's not what worship is. I stand up here and I worship God because he deserves it and because he is God, and not with an anticipation I'm going to receive a thing. In fact, he's worthy whether he gives me another thing for the rest of my life or not. Whether I have another blessing in my life or not, he is worthy for me to pay attention and worship and give him the honor he deserves. He is worthy for me to stop what I'm doing and give him the honor he deserves. He's worthy, God. He's a worthy God. No matter what, no matter what. Worship is participation in God's mercy. I can't earn God's approval. Oh, but I can participate. I can participate in God's approval. Walking in it. So when we sing new songs, songs about new life and thank you for your favor, thank you for blessing us. Absolutely, participate in it. Participate in the favor, but it's not going to earn it for you doing acts of worship. Is everybody good? Everybody understand? Is anybody lost? Just say I'm lost. Or favor. Yes, that's right. You can't. It is a participation in God's mercy. Philippians 3:3. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. No confidence. I know we do sometimes. I know that I do put confidence in human effort. You know, the thing about that is, man, I sure would get let down a whole lot less if I didn't put so much confidence in human effort. I sure would not. But see, when I put all of my effort in Jesus, and I put all of my worship on Jesus, and I put all of my trust and truth in him, I can't be let down by anything else. Because he's all that I need. He's all fulfilling. For we who worship God in the Spirit are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Now, for we who worship God in the Spirit. Well, that must mean that there is a way to worship God out of the Spirit. Because then it would just say, we who worship. No, it doesn't. It says, we who worship in the Spirit. It's completely possible to worship out of the Spirit. Jumping ahead of myself. We sing the new things. We participate in God's mercy. If anyone isn't in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Look, new things have come. Yes, new things. We move in it. We walk in it. But worship can't earn me that stuff. It's already mine. Cannot buy something that's already been bought. I'm literally just throwing my money away. It won't give me anything else. It's already paid for. It's already done. It's already in my possession. So if I try to pay for it with something from me, well, it's just wasted effort. It's just wasted money. And I could be applying it a different way. Worship, everything that we do in obedience, in giving, in songs. It is not a performance. When we perform, we have a problem. Because I am taking away glory and honor. For I'm supposed to be giving it. Do I need to sound good? Yeah. As a leader, I mean. In leading worship. Does it need to be pleasant to somebody's ear? Sure. Of course. Do I need to know my instrument? Yes. But when I begin to perform, I am removing honor from God. I'm taking away what has been given to him. When I am being obedient and driving down the road and I stop and I perform, it takes it away. It's not a performance. It's not a performance. Now, it is a display. Worship is a display. I like to say it's worship is an outward expression of an inward affection. I'm going to show. It's going to show that I love God. It's going to show that I want to honor God and respect God. It's going to show when you love or honor or respect anybody. It's going to show. There'll be displays. But when it becomes a performance, it takes things away. One big pet peeve of mine lately is Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Instagram is. I thought about the other day when I was at Easter thing they were doing at Ariel School, and there's just so many parents with their phones and taking their pictures and getting proof. It's like they were not present for this whole party, but at one point they kind of walk up. They're like, all right, get all your friends together. They take a picture and they post it to Facebook. So from Facebook world, it's like, oh, look at her supporting her daughter, supporting their son. That's so nice of them, you know. But in reality, it's just her performance. Because they weren't even talking to their kid the whole time. But yet I see you taking pictures and then you post it on Facebook. Does everybody kind of follow what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, okay, I see. Well, it used to. I mean, back when we were kids, the only proof there was just my child's memory. That's the only proof that my parents were there. It's because I remember it. But now, it's like things have kind of shifted in this technological age we're in and this social media stuff. And it's like, well, it's like it didn't happen if I don't post it to Facebook. It's like I'm not worshiping God if I'm not proving to everybody that I did. I don't tell everybody I was at church, but I don't post a picture of my, no, oh, don't, please don't get mad at me if you've done this. I'm not criticizing in any form or fashion. I'm just using as an example. And it's like I didn't do my morning Bible study if I don't post a picture of my Bible and my coffee and my computer. It's like it doesn't count if I don't post it. That's a performance. Now, if Jesus tells you to do it, maybe somebody need to see it, do it. But if you're doing it to be like, hey, look what I did, don't do that. Don't do that. I had some other friends I saw were posting a text message they got from their boyfriend and was just like, oh, he's so sweet, look how much he loves me and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, I don't think I would share that. I mean, it was pretty intimate. It was like, I would completely, I mean, it wasn't wrong or gross, but it was one of those things where it's like, you know what? I bet he wanted that to stay between them. I bet he wanted just to love on her a little bit. I bet he wasn't performing. I bet he didn't know when he said that it was going to end up on the World Wide Web. It did. But I'm just saying, it was a performance. And when we perform, it takes things away. How do we display our worship then? What's the right way to do it? That's the wrong way to do it. Well, number one, if you're taking notes, John 4:24. Let's go there. Number one, in spirit and in truth. But the time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. It's from the heart. What is it to worship in spirit? What does that mean? It's from the heart. I mean it. I'm sincere. I have this this card that Ariel drew me. It says, I'm so thankful for my mom. It says, Mom and Ariel. I love this picture because it's, I mean, I can't do stick figures. That's all I can do. And so, but you know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't say, hey, draw me up something that tells me of your love. Give me something to hang up. No. See, the reason I choose to accept this, the reason I choose to keep it and to hang it on my fridge or hang it on my dresser, the reason I do that is because I knew her heart. I know when she gave it to me, she wasn't looking to be famous. She wasn't looking for me to put that in a gallery somewhere. She wasn't looking for me to sell it, to earn anything, get a book deal, nothing like that. I knew her heart. I knew her heart. So I chose to keep it. Now, if she had put something up for me and wrote something up and expressed her love in a way where I was like, you know, and did it, hey, Mom, in front of all of her friends, look what I made for you. Everybody, look what I made for my mom. Look what I did. I made this just for her. It's just for you, Mom. But look what I did. Look what I did and how I did it. It's so pretty. Okay, everybody, see? Here you go, Mom. So done in worship sometimes. Look what I'm about to do. Look at these lights. Look at this stage. Look at all this smoke. All those things are good. They can be, but whatever. But look what I'm doing. I'm going to be loud and I'm going to be proud and post my picture all over the place. I'm about to worship Jesus because he's a good God and he loves me and I love him. Yay. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus, we love you. Thanks. Thanks for coming. You're awesome and all. Wasn't that a great worship service? Wasn't it rocking? Wasn't it amazing? Oh, it was so good. I was just able to let loose and let go, let God. He had 5 seconds of my time. 5 seconds of my time. It is not or performance. It is a display. It is me coming up here now. Am I going to be passionate or I'm going to be passionate? Because I know that he deserves it. He gets my honor. He gets the glory because he's God and that's it. Because he earned it. He deserves it. He is worthy. Earned it or not, he's worthy. He's God. He's God. That's why. That's why. That's it. Period. He's God. That's why. So I'm going to be passionate in my worship, but if I'm not doing it with a pure heart, if I'm not doing it just to simply say, God, I love you, God, thank you, then I am wasting my time and his. Because I tell you what, it won't be refrigerator worship. I want to give him something. He hangs up. And he keeps. And he says, thank you. Thank you for that. I know you meant that. I know you meant that. Thank you. I don't want to give God something he says thanks. I know he rolls his eyes. I know he does it. Thanks, yeah. Appreciate the thought there. Thanks for including me in your Sunday morning service. Thanks. I know. I know, you know, it's got to be those times because people are like, here you go, God, here's what I got. And it's bad. It's not good. It's not everything we have. It's not everything that is us that we can just give to God. It's the little. It's the little, or it's just for show. That's the last thing I want to do. That's the last thing I want to do. Because God deserves better than that. He deserves more than that. And for me, he will get more than that. For me, he will get more than that. Because I tell you what, whether or not I'm up here leading, or whether I'm not out, I'm out here not leading, my worship doesn't change. Whether I'm on this stage or not, my worship doesn't shift. There's not an atmospheric difference for me. In fact, I could come walk in this church. And I apologize if you do ever have to do this. And you're like, man, worship's horrible today. But I'm going to worship God anyways. Because he's worthy. I know that there's those times. I'm sorry when my hand goes numb and I can't feel anything. And I can't stop playing my guitar because there's not a keyboard player. I know, and it doesn't sound good. I'm hitting wrong notes, but I can't feel nothing. I know there's those times. But you know what? Nothing that we put our hands to up here. Nothing we put our hands to up here. Is to help you press in. Is it to give to God? To give him glory? Is it supposed to sound good? Yes. Yes, we need to give God our best. But from your heart, let me rephrase it this way. It is an aid in helping us all corporately press in. But it will not affect your spirit worship. It will not affect it. That is between you and God. That is between me and God. And he knows my heart. And please don't misunderstand me. Don't ever walk into a worship service and feel like, well, I don't feel like I can give God my all today. I don't feel worthy, or I don't feel like I'm really in the spirit in this moment. No, you're not greater than everyone else. I'm sorry. Your little pity party is not big enough. It's not bigger than the cross. You know, it is a frustrating thing, a little bit of a rabbit trail, the frustrating thing when people are like, I don't want to go to church today. I'm sorry, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it today. What? I know, but that's me. I say that to myself. I get it. Like, man, I don't want to do it. I'm not feeling it today. So I understand. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm calling myself out. But it's wrong that I do that, because when I worship in spirit, I take hold of what he did for me, what's been done for me, and I move in that, and I worship in that. And I have no right, I have no right to stand up and say, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. Okay, then sit down, but give God what he deserves. Give God glory he deserves. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to run around. If you want to, sweet, go for it. Make sure it's for Jesus. Your feet hurt, sit down. But see, what happens with that, why do we stand up? Well, let me tell you, because it helps our attention. It helps our focus. It's reverent. What do people do when kings walk in the room, when royalty walks in the room? What do? They stand up. They bow. They get up. They turn their phones off. And they bow before royalty. They focus. And let me tell you, if the president were in here, or anyone of high authority, anyone of President Obama was in here, like him or not, I don't care. I guarantee you he'd have the room. He'd have the room. I don't care what you think or not. He'd have the room. He'd have respect because people fought and died for that respect. If Ronald Reagan were in here, I guarantee you, he'd have the room. But you know what? Every time I open my mouth and I praise and worship Jesus, he is in this room. And a lot of times, he'll walk right next to me. Hey, Jesus, what's up? Or just, so hungry, I gotta pee, they only have one toilet here, there's a long line. Jesus is here. He's here. He's right here. So we can't let things like that get in the way. We have to constantly remind ourselves, wait a minute, this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. And you know what? I don't feel great physically right now. I haven't had the best week. But oh, even more so, give God what he deserves. Because no matter what's going on, no matter what I've done this week, how bad my week has been, how bad my month has been, it doesn't matter. He is here and he deserves my presence, my praise, my spirit. He's a worthy God. He's a worthy God. Is everyone in agreement? All right. Everybody say worship. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. Now, you may have heard this before, because I know I've heard it, but worship's not about you. You're not supposed to go into a worship service to feel better and all these things. And you know what? Yeah, absolutely. That's God. It's for God. I'm supposed to worship for him. Worship isn't for me. What I do is not for me. Well, then it's performance if it is. But have you ever... I don't like so much when people lean on that so much, because it's like, I think it puts a chain kind of on people, a little bit of bondage, because they're like, well, I can't say worship was awesome because they're saying it was about me. But like, I feel better after that worship service. It's okay if you feel better after a worship service. It's not a sin to feel better. Have you ever wanted to tell somebody something for a long time? Like, just let them know that they really blessed your life, or just let them know that, you know what, I appreciate you, thank you, and then later you're just like, oh, that felt better. If it's ever happened, anybody, oh, it's the same thing. You're going to feel better after you give God what you were created to give him. It's okay if you feel good after a worship service. It's all right. Now, just don't make it about you. So everybody on the same page. That makes sense. Okay. All right. I guess half of you. Okay. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Or you don't have to turn there. I can just go there real quick. It says, and Solomon, my son, get to know the God of your ancestors. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and understands and knows every plan and thought. He knows. He knows. He knows your heart. He sees every plan and every heart. Worship God in spirit. There's no point in trying to hide anything from him, because he knows. But worship God in spirit and worship God in truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. What is truth? Well, the word. If you ever find yourself not singing the word or singing to something that's not biblical, well, don't, because it's not the truth. Make sure it lines up. It's completely okay. I said this that Wednesday night. If I ever sing anything and you're like, that is not in the Bible, please tell me. I mean, I hope that I would catch that. But if I don't, if for some reason we sing something that's not biblical, I want to know. Or I'll, you know, show me and we'll talk about it. But thy word is the truth. Worship in spirit and truth. Know the truth. Know the truth so you can sing the truth. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. He is good, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Offering yourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, you've heard before, I'm sure I've said it, but that God inhabits the praises of his people. The verse is Psalms 22, verse 3, and it says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And of course, there are tons of different translations. Now, it doesn't specifically read, God inhabits the praises of his people. What it is he is on his throne. And as we praise, and as we lift up our voices, and as we lift up our worship, the praise surrounds him. And it encircles his throne, and it encompasses him. So he is inhabiting, he is enthroned amidst our praises. Okay? Psalms 22, 3. So the promise is this. He will come. The promise isn't you're going to feel better after worship. That's not the promise. The promise isn't you will be blessed because you worship. The promise isn't you're going to have a long life because you worship. That's not the promise. The promise is when I sing praises, he will come. He will be here. Jeremiah 29:13. If you look for me in earnest, you will find me when you seek me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will be found by you. When we seek Jesus, we will find him. The promise is he will come. That is our promise. He will come when we seek him. Proverbs 8:17. I love all who love me. Those who search for me will surely find me. If you search for Jesus, you will find him. He's not hiding. You will find him if you search for him in spirit and in truth. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you search him, he will be found. You will find him. You move first, though. You move first. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Ready? Good? Okay. When we worship, we're inviting him to come and inspect our hearts. Worship with an expectation he will come. Not with an expectation you will receive something when he does. If you do, great. Hey, awesome when he speaks to us. Absolutely. We love that he communicates. We love that we're in communion with him. But I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your worshiping in spirit. Don't get up and start it with the intention, okay, I'm doing this to get that. No. Make sure the intention is because God is good and he's on the throne and he is worthy. That is why. With that, other things come, but we have to watch the intention of our heart. We have to watch the intention. I am not in any way going to even get close to being done. I have way too much. But I will do this last point. This, I already said this, but I just thought it was funny. Worship may not be to sing your blues away, but it's not about that. I thought it was funny. You're like, singing your blues, that's not worship. It's cool if it happens, if you feel happy after worship, but that's not the point. Alright, it was funnier when I wrote it down. Okay, lastly, I'm just going to talk about in giving. It's kind of about what I was talking about a while ago. I'm not going to get to any of the music stuff I was going to talk about. We'll have to do that another Wednesday night. But in giving, Romans 12. While you're going there, I'm going to read Matthew 2:11. That sounded really like professional. While you're going there, like all the big preachers say that, I'm going to read this. One of the greatest examples of giving, how is giving worship, is from the three wise men when Jesus came. They gave gifts, literal gifts. In verse 11, they entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Obviously, they knew, they followed the star, they knew he was there. They gave him things of value, things that meant something, importance. They didn't just give him something, well, he didn't need it, he was a baby. They didn't give him something he needed. It was just gifts of value, just to give him. Just to give him worship, just to worship him. Okay, 12, verse 1 through 8. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect he really is. As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have become... I'm sorry. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, each of us with a different work. Let's get down to 6. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. All right, I'm just going to stop. I'm completely reading the wrong message. I don't even know why I even wrote that down. I don't think that's supposed to be 12. Hey, that's a good verse, though. Yeah. Let's see. Why would I have wrote that down? Romans 12, 1 through 8. I wonder what that was supposed to be. That's going to bug me now. Oh, it's John, not Romans. Man, I was so off. Hey, whatever your part of the body is, do it. We need you. We don't need to suffer. You're here for a reason. Plug in. Okay, that's why I read that. All right, John 12. 6 days before the Passover ceremonies began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a small fortune. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief who was in charge of the disciples' funds, and he often took some for his own use. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did it in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but I will not be here with you much longer." He said, "Leave her alone. She's given me a gift. She's given me a gift. It was one that she worked hard for. She earned for a long time. It was very expensive. It cost a year's worth of work to get it. And she poured it out on his feet." And he said, "Leave her alone." He completely accepts that form of worship and giving. And it was just because she wanted to honor him. It was just because she wanted to bless him. Just because she wanted to anoint his feet. We don't give worship because God needs it. We give it as an expression that we love him, that we honor him, and that we want to bless him. When he talked a few weeks ago, Jeremy Karras about that, I think it's accoutrements or whatever it was. You know, those are another way, that word, I was thinking, those are like the best gifts to me. Like when somebody gives me something that I didn't need. And in fact, I mean, I wanted it. It's very nice, but it wasn't something that I was in need of. It was just to bless me. Christmas gifts are amazing. Birthday gifts are great. But man, those gifts that come for no reason at all, just because someone loves me, just because someone wants to bless me, those are the best to me. Sometimes. I mean, you know what I mean. They're the most thoughtful for sure. Because what happened is somebody saw a gift and said, you know what? They deserve that. I'm going to give that to them. Small or big, it doesn't matter. It's in the heart. It's in the spirit. So that's when I give Jesus my worship, when I give God my offering, when I pay my tithe, or when I give my time, when I give my effort, when I give my talents, all those things, I am worshiping Jesus. I am giving him. Yet that is an expression of my love. That is an expression of what I do, of what how I feel about God. When I give those things, I'm giving. I am worshiping. I just want to read this last quote and then be done. It's by Ralph Cushman. It's pretty good. It says, the worship that is empty-handed is, according to Scripture, simply not worship at all. The bringing of an offering to God is pictured in the Scripture as a high and an inestimable part of worship. When I come to God with nothing to give, it is not worship at all. That's not worship. Now, and obviously I'm not just talking about physical things. I mean, in a worship service, when I'm coming to sing and lift my voice and all those things. And but would I come offering nothing to Jesus, offering him none of my focus, none of my time, none of my spirit, none of my heart, none of that, and I'm just here in attendance? Well, it isn't worship. Understand that. Worship is giving God what he deserves. It is an expression of what he deserves, the honor he should be giving. And that's it. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be awkward. It should never be those things. It's just us giving God what he deserves. It's just us giving God his honor and glory. Everybody understand? Well, Jesus, God, we thank you. I thank you for... Thank you that you made a way for us first just to be able to worship you. Thank you that everything that we need to do, everything we need to put our hands to has been done, has been completed for us, and now we just get to walk in it. We just get to move in it. Jesus, may we constantly have pure hearts in what we do. Father, may my heart always be pure in worship. May my spirit always be pure in worship. May I always sing your truth. May I always sing what is the truth of your word. May I never open my mouth to things that are false. May I never offer you something that costs me nothing. May I give you everything all the time. Jesus, help us. Holy Spirit, give us those desires. Give us those wants and those that help in those moments where we could be distracted or we could lose focus. Thank you, Jesus, that you will help us in that. That you will help us in those moments to set our eyes to you and to focus on you and give you absolutely everything you deserve. Jesus, I just pray blessings over these people in this place and I pray, Father, that as we go about the day and as they do things that you see as worship, Jesus, show them. Show them different things that they do that is worship to you. Speak to their hearts that they've just worshiped you if they don't realize that's what that is. Let them know that they just did something that you received as worship. Just speak to their hearts. Just say, thank you for your worship. Thank you for your worship. Just say that to them as they do those things so they know, so we could learn and grow together in this growing in you and learning more of your spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will do that. Thank you that you will speak to them. And God, help us to be open to those times. Help us to be open to those moments where you want to use us to bless other people, but even just to bless you. God, may we not lose focus in our day. May we not lose focus in our moments and continually give you what you are worthy of and continually give you what you deserve. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.